You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We are beginning to hit our stride for the evening. Our second guest tonight is Warren Balog this Saturday evening, September the 24th. Warren, of course, is a political activist and a commentator, very heavily involved with the Right Stuff Network, where he hosts The Warren Report. Get it?
Gotcha.
And also a director of the National Justice Party. So it's always great to have Warren on with us and to collaborate with his organizations. And Keith, I just got to say, I had the opportunity to listen, and we mentioned this a couple of weeks ago, but I'll mention it again since Warren's on. What a great collaboration between you and Warren and Mike Enoch on TRS talking about Memphis a couple of weeks ago. I really enjoyed that. I know our audience did as well.
I think Warren and Mike and I are on the same wavelength, and it was really enjoyable, at least from my standpoint.
Warren, what did you think about having this old guy on?
Oh, it was great. It was great, and it was fantastic. You were able to make it on such short notice, and the National Justice Party, And TRS is broadly centered in the Northeast and the Rust Belt. The Rust Belt is really where we focus on. So we have a lot of supporters and listeners in the South, but as you and I were talking about recently, James, we don't have a lot of, we haven't done a lot of activities. We haven't had any of our mass meetings in the South. So it's just one more thing that came out of our collaboration over the last year a friendship was the ability to get talk with someone right down there, right in Memphis, who's an attorney who knows what's going on. It was invaluable, especially to deal with Eliza Fletcher, because Keith, you had all the details about the killer in that case and his history. So yeah, it was fantastic, and I really want to do that kind of thing again.
Well, I enjoyed listening to it. I listened to it all the way through and a great deal of it again a second time. Want to give a quick shout to you talked about just the fact, Warren, that you know we had known each other through reputation but only met about a year ago, a little over a year ago. Want to give a big tip of the hat for making that happen to our mutual friend Andy down in Florida, who brought us together, and the rest is history. And it's just been a real, real, real pleasure, and I think a productive one.
To a marriage made in heaven.
To work more closely with what you guys are doing at jointly with the Right Stuff from the media arm and the National Justice Party from a political arm is just really one of the, if not the best thing going right now for our people here in the United States. It's just a lot of great things happening. And Warren, any excuse to have you back on is a good excuse. We don't ever need a reason, but I came across a particular headline. I said, I got to get Warren on as quickly as possible. Talk about this. We teased it in the first hour as saying, and I don't think this is an exaggeration, it is the most egregiously flagrant headline I can remember ever reading. And you think about what that means when you
flagrant falsehood.
Talking about the media's coverage and how wretched and wicked and full of evil and deceit the media is, for one to stand out above the rest. Is that a gross exaggeration, Warren, or is it pretty close to home? What do you think? And then we'll tell them what.
So you're talking about this. You're talking about this headline in the Wisconsin Examiner.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I told you I did a fact checking of it on the NJP website, and I started to do this fact checker thing where I went through and was gonna, because I found so many things that were just blatant lies or exaggerations in the article. And I started to go down through it, and I actually found four false claims just in the title of the article. So by the time I was finished writing just those four false claims, fact checking them, I kind of ran out of time for the day. I had other things I had to do, so I just posted that on the website. I was like, all right, here's just the four false claims in the title, and then you can imagine the rest, how what BS it is. But yeah, the title was white supremacists exploit false narrative of racial motivation in Waukesha parade tragedy. And it was filled with a number of other lies that I didn't even get to. One of them, one of the biggest actually, was the idea that Daryl Brooks, the killer in the Waukesha parade attack, was fleeing some sort of domestic incident. Now, we sent a reporter who's worked with us before, who's a big supporter of the National Justice Party and the right stuff, Trey Garrison, who you've had on your show.
Oh, he's fantastic, sent him, yes.
Yeah, he's a wonderful guy. We sent him, and he's just he's an excellent reporter, a journalist. I mean, he's a journalist by trade, so he's a pro journalist. He went up there for about a week with Greg Conte, who is one of the founding members of the NJP, and they paired with some guys from Media to Rise, which is the media wing of Rob Rundo's Will to Rise movement. They were active at Charlottesville. And the Media to Rise guys, they're good friends of ours, and they've covered some of our events. Well, anyway, they were up there for about a week doing interviews, and they got an interview with a jailhouse interview with Daryl Brooks. Now, this was the week after it happened, and that's when we did that documentary, Terror in Waukesha, with Media to Rise. And in that documentary, in the interview, the Media to Rise interviewer, Luca, asked Daryl Brooks about this domestic incident that the media had been reporting. Like, in other words, the thing that they were trying to say was that he was speeding away from some sort of a knife. There was talk of a knife attack or a domestic incident, that he was speeding away from it and just happened to drive down the wrong street and crash into a bunch of... I mean, that's the implication that they were saying, that it was just like an accident. He was fleeing something else and crashed into this parade. Daryl Brooks himself said on camera, and we have it on video in camera, and it was in the documentary, he said that that's absolutely not true, that there's nothing to that. So we got the killer himself on video saying that a week after it happened. And this article, they kind of dropped that from the headlines without any making a fuss over it or saying, oh, well, you know, releasing an article saying, well, we have to retract our claim. You know, no big retractions. They just sort of quietly dropped that narrative. But this article, which was just published on September 14th.
Yeah, this is a brand new article, ladies and gentlemen. This is an event that took place last Christmas. Last Christmas is when
And they've been running with that lie for over 6 months.
But this is a brand new article for something, covering something that happened last December.
Yeah, and it wasn't in December. It was actually, it was right after Thanksgiving. So it was almost exactly a year ago. It was a Christmas parade, you know, but it was right after Thanksgiving. It was immediately after. Because I remember, because we were all talking. It was Thanksgiving. It was like right after that we were all talking about how we had to. I was still like full from Thanksgiving dinner. And it's like, oh, God, now we got to do like a 15-hour drive to Wisconsin tomorrow, Dad and I. But yeah, it's they're still repeating that lie in this article, which is just incredibly irresponsible.
Okay, so when this anti-white attack took place, this murderous interracial
hate crime.
That's right. And it was that. We're going to get into that. We haven't touched on that yet. Why was there a racial motivation? Well, according to the killer's own words on social media, there was. But it's a false narrative if you point out his own words and you're exploiting it to... Well, we're going to take a break.
We say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less. Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better have a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly. But I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
If the COVID-19 shot is safe and effective, then why are 20% of healthcare workers refusing to get it? If the COVID-19 injection is safe and effective, then why is big tech silencing anyone who opposes it? If the COVID injection is safe and effective, then why is our federal government's reporting system recording over 14,000 deaths from the vaccine and an additional 650,000 plus serious adverse reactions? If the COVID shot is safe and effective, then why did Dr. Geert Vandenbosch, recognized as one of the world's chief vaccine experts, risk his entire career and his reputation to plead with the medical community to immediately halt all COVID-19 vaccinations, calling mass COVID vaccinations an uncontrollable monster? Doesn't sound very safe and effective. Maybe it's time to call a spade a spade. At no time in history have the people forcing others into compliance been the good guys.
Paid for by Ammon Bundy for governor. VoteBundy.com.
And we're back with Warren Balog of The Right Stuff, therightstuff.biz, and the National Justice Party. So this article out, a brand new article. So this was within the last week, a little more than a week ago here on Saturday night. It was September the 14th. White supremacists exploit false narrative of racial motivation in Waukesha parade tragedy. Now this, as Warren said, I said December. It was actually in that short
November
interim between Thanksgiving in December. But this is a new article. So first of all, what is the false narrative? Now, correct me if I'm wrong, Warren, but if memory serves, and this is going back a few months now, didn't this perp write all over his social media account about his disdain and hatred for white people and that he wanted them dead and that he himself may actually carry out an attack such as this? Is it a false narrative? Is it exploiting a false narrative to point out his own words?
It's Orwell. A false narrative from the right equals the truth.
Yes.
Did he wrote that stuff, though, didn't he?
Yeah. Well, one of the things was the Kyle Rittenhouse verdict. That came out, I'm just checking the dates right now. That was November the 19th of 2021. And then the Waukesha attack, the date was, I remember, November 21st, 2021. So it was just a few days after the Kyle Rittenhouse verdict that this attack happened. Yeah, well, that's it, is that, this is the most outrageous claim. It's not just the Wisconsin Examiner. It's also the Waukesha Police, and it's also the District Attorney's Office there, and it's also the FBI, who have gotten involved when they think it's appropriate to do federal hate crimes charges. The Justice Department, as we've seen, it gets involved even when the local DA will not charge something with hate crimes or terrorism. Now, this was both terrorism and a hate crime. If you all remember, back in 2016, there was an attack by an Islamic extremist who he was actually an asylum seeker in Germany, who attacked a Christmas market in December of 2016. It was in Berlin, and he did a truck attack where he rammed a truck into a Christmas market in Berlin, and killed, I believe, 12 people and wounded over 50. I think it was like 58 people.
I remember that.
It was a terrorist attack. Now, that was an example of a guy using a truck, a vehicle, to attack a Christmas event full of white people in an act of terrorism. Now, this was terrorism, and yes, to what you said, James, it was actually Joseph Jordan, who goes by Eric Stryker on The Right Stuff. He actually was the first to break the story less than 24 hours after the attack that this killer, Daryl Brooks, had been making raps on SoundCloud under the name Math Boy Fly, and that his lyrics emphasized black racial grievance, hatred of white people, open support of terrorism. There's videos in his raps of him rapping with like guns, brandishing guns in front of the SUV he used in the attack. He actually used that SUV to run over a woman earlier in the month, just a few weeks earlier in the month. She survived. It was like an ex-girlfriend or something. But I mean, he's using that vehicle as a weapon. You know, that's in his mind.
You also had that situation in Nice, France, where the guy got on in his truck and went down there. And I mean, I think the death toll was way up there in that incident.
I remember that a few years ago.
Oh, right. Now, that wasn't the reason I mentioned the Berlin one, it wasn't the most deadly of these, but it was a Christmas event, you know. So it's at a Christmas event. If you want to go and hurt a bunch of white people, that's a good place to do it. It's a Christmas event. But, I mean, the other thing was this parade, you know, if you remember, he was coming at them from behind. So these are kids, grandmothers. There was that whole singing granny squad or whatever that was in the parade. And this guy's coming at them from behind. But it's in his Facebook. I mean, you remember, guys, the McMichaels with the Ahmaud Arbery case. The guy said on social media years ago that, you know, black people cause a lot of problems or something like that. And that was used as evidence to convict them on the federal hate crimes charges that got them a separate conviction on hate crimes charges. I mean, what happened to the McMichaels is so outrageous. But this guy,
it's minuscule compared to what this guy did.
This guy had so many, he had memes on his Facebook, of violence against white people. And this happened right after the Kyle Rittenhouse verdict. So this guy was a BLM terrorist, and there has just been zero acknowledgement by the Waukesha Police Department or by the district attorney or by the Justice Department of all the evidence that Stryker uncovered first, then Laura Loomer picked it up, and then it was picked up by a whole bunch of other people. The New York Post did an article, the Fox News, the Toronto Sun, the Daily Mail, and there were many others that reported on this guy's history of anti-white statements and propaganda. So we have a situation where they're just – they're looking at reality and just pretending it's not there. And it's insane. And right now his trial is set to be the first week of October, and he's just basically just facing the charges for having killed people. You know, there's no terrorism and there's no hate crimes charges at all. So it's
is there
outrageous.
A statute of limitation on hate crime charges? Do you know Warren?
Oh, I'm not
sure.
You're
the attorney, son.
I don't know.
Yeah, well, yeah. I know, but I don't specialize in it the way Warren does.
Well, let me say this. So all of that is just terrible. But to refocus on this particular article, it's not a false narrative. He did act out of racial motivation, and you're not white supremacist for pointing out the truth and drawing awareness to a story and to an issue that would have been brushed under the rug even more quickly than it was. And as quickly as it was, it would have been even more quickly done had it not been for the work of the National Justice Party. Now, I was reading through this, and it was co-written. It's a screed so long, it took two so-called journalists to put it together, so-called reporters for the Wisconsin Examiner. And I read down a little bit, and then I saw a picture of there's actually a picture of Warren in this piece. And you can see him, and this was a truly peaceful protest of National Justice Party supporters and members. Stop anti-white hate, stop BLM terror.
Did they Photoshop a picture of his face on a Nazi uniform?
No, they didn't do that. But so they've got, you've got members of NJP and TRS and others there. And you're giving speeches and you're raising awareness to this and drawing some attention to it, and that was a wonderful thing. But this whole article really, Warren, the whole article is to smear our people who are raising awareness of this. That's the real focus of the article.
And you wonder how this reporter can sleep at night telling lies like this to his readership.
I'm sure pretty easily.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the guy who wrote it is himself a BLM activist, the main writer. I mean, he looks like a drug dealer. The thing I was going to say about the way the article is written, another implication in the article that's not, they don't actually claim it, but one thing they did was they talk about this group called The Base, which is something that Stryker, the same guy who broke the story about Daryl Brooks, 2 years ago on the website national-justice.com, which he used to write for, and that's actually where we used the name from the National Justice Party. We took inspiration from that. He did an article about this group called The Base, which is an English translation of Al-Qaeda means the base, which is a complete – Stryker had denounced it as an obvious, like, Fed honeypot. I mean, it's just everything about it was like ISIS, where you have the, stage stuff with skull masks and all this kind of terrorism stuff. Anyway, they talk about this group that our guys had denounced even before the National Justice Party existed as an obvious false flag, Fed honeypot effort. And they have paragraphs written about that, about, oh, the base might do terrorism, and they put this next to pictures of us with our demonstration.
Oh, all right, we've got to talk about this. A group or a Fed operation, whatever they are, whatever they really are, you had not. Well, maybe they're legitimate. Who knows? I mean, illegitimate. NJP had nothing to do with you. That's right. We'll be right back.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Weekly jobless claims are up slightly. In today's report from the Labor Department, the number of new claims for unemployment benefits rose by 5,000 the week ending September 17th. That comes out to 213,000 new claims, which was 5,000 less than expected. A Supreme Court justice's wife is set to testify before the Democratic-led January 6th committee. From the USA Radio News West Coast News Bureau, Lance Pry has the details.
Ginny Thomas, the wife of Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas, agreed to be questioned by the mostly partisan January 6th committee. Separately, the committee announced its next hearing would be next Wednesday at 1 p.m. Eastern.
A new poll suggests a record turnout for November's midterm elections. Roughly 64% of respondents to the NBC News poll say they have a very high interest in the midterms. A similar poll in 2018 found very high interest among 58% of respondents. The midterms will determine control of the House and Senate for the next 2 years. President Joe Biden touted tougher climate investments in the Inflation Reduction Act during his address to the UN General Assembly. North Dakota Republican Senator Kevin Cramer explains on Fox Business why he's no fan of that bill.
This runaway government spending, this supercharging the demand side of our economy while the supply side continues to be hurt by it, it has led to this inflation. Yeah. We need to get our arms wrapped around that.
He adds he wants banks to reconsider their environmental and social policies. The mayor of Mexico City confirms two people are dead following Thursday morning's magnitude 6.8 earthquake. The tremor was centered about 400 miles west of the capital city. USA Radio News.
This story is called The Ugly Truth About Timeshares. If you think you've done your family a favor by buying a timeshare, well, you need my help. Hello, I'm Chuck McDowell, founder and CEO of Wesley Financial Group. 10 years ago, I started helping folks cancel their timeshare. And the process started what's now called the timeshare cancellation industry. Timeshare is the only thing that you can buy that you can't tell me how much it's going to cost or when it's going to end. When you buy a timeshare, you give them a blank check to fill out any amount they want for annual maintenance and assessment fees. Sounds crazy, right? Well, the crazy thing is, this never ends. Stop the insanity today. Call my office now. I guarantee if we can't cancel your timeshare, you'll pay nothing.
Were you lied to when buying a timeshare and want out? Get the facts about timeshare cancellation. Call Wesley now for your free information kit. 800-478-7733. 800-478-7733. 800-478-7733.
All right, back with Warren Balog. I do want to shift gears here in just a moment, but just to wrap this up, I wanted to give an illustration that echoed Warren's illustration vis-a-vis how they tied in the base to this article about how white supremacists were exploiting the false narrative of racial motivation. It was entirely racially motivated, this attack in Waukesha. So I mean, we've unpacked that, but they threw in the base in this article, which was not germane to it at all. Give us a little more information. I'll give you I'll share a lamentation with you about this sort of tactic that the media does, Warren.
Yeah, well, it's just, you know, what's funny is they're trying to imply. I mean, at the end of the article, they say there's a quote by a guy saying, "It's really scary. These white supremacists are coming out of the woodwork." So in other words, what's scary is not the act of terrorism that was committed. I mean, a Christmas parade was attacked, and children and old people, elderly folks, were run down by this terrorist in an SUV. And what they're saying is scary is not that, but people coming out to protest. And we were invited, by the way, to Waukesha when we have supporters there. You know, we have people that are in the Milwaukee area. So, I mean, it wasn't just because both senators from the state, Republican and Democrat, came out while we were still out there to condemn us as outside agitators and this kind of thing. I mean, we had local support there on the ground.
We've heard that before in the South.
Oh, okay, if you're an outside agitator for the system, though, you're a freedom fighter, you're a freedom rider. Or whatever.
Of course. Well, that's the other thing. The thing I'll just say about it, James, is, you know, this idea of, first of all, the National Justice Party is not a white supremacist organization. Right in our first plank of our party platform, we talk about respecting the rights of historic minorities in the United States. So that's untrue. But and then throughout the article, he calls it a parade tragedy, when even Wikipedia, which has a very left-wing bias, calls it an attack. It wasn't a tragedy. It was an attack. And, you know, this same paper, the Wisconsin Examiner, has a whole section on their website calling the mostly peaceful protest of January 6th an attack. So the January 6th attack, the Waukesha parade tragedy. You see how that works. But the last thing I'll just say about that is that this idea of exploiting it. My only thing about that is, first of all, how can we talk about these crimes or advocate these things without being accused of exploiting it? But the second thing I would say about that I've said before, is, was one single person, Al Sharpton, Jesse Jackson, or anyone else, ever accused of exploiting George Floyd's death? Or there's another quote they say, weaponizing it for political gain. Has anyone in America, according to these people, ever weaponized the death of George Floyd for political gain? Or is that just something that never has happened? Not one single
point.
According to them, not one single person ever in the whole history of the world ever exploited the death of George Floyd for political gain or weaponized it. Yet we write about just the obvious facts of this thing. We do a protest and we're weaponizing it for political gain. So it's just
there you go.
I'm surprised.
That's a great point,
Warren. I'm surprised they didn't use it as an occasion to go after SUVs. This is they come after guns when a black guy shoots a white person.
Yeah, the car had a consciousness. The car killed the people.
This is America's being wedded to SUVs.
They call it that. They say an SUV plowed into people. So they make it sound like, and Mike has talked about this extensively, in article after article, they talk about it as though it were a riderless vehicle, you know? So just the vehicle did it, not the guy.
That guy was just an innocent bystander.
Yeah. But I got to say one thing about them infusing the base into this article for no reason, you know. But this happened. These are just some of the tricks. Everybody knows this, but I do like telling the story. So, Warren, I was actually talking with you about this on the phone. This was just one of the many things we talked about when we spoke a couple of nights ago. And I mentioned it at some point during the conversation about the 2015 gathering that we helped organize at Nathan Bedford Forrest's grave in Memphis.
Right.
And this was right after Dylann Roof, where there was just this
anti-Confederate hysteria.
Yes, there you go, to remove the monument. So a couple of organizations, we were included. 500 people showed up. It was a wonderful event. A lot of families, a lot of young kids, a lot of older people. Great cross-section. Very, just a wonderful
event. Guys on motorcycles.
Yeah, you had the mechanized cavalry. Anyway, so one of our co-hosts at the time, Eddie Miller, had a beautiful flag. What would you say the dimensions of that flag were? About 3 by 5 feet?
At least.
Yeah, it was a big one. And he's standing in front of the Forrest Equestrian Monument, and the wind is blowing just enough to get that flag to move. And it is a really majestic shot. It was a beautiful shot that was taken by an AP reporter. Man, they got a lot of coverage. The AP reporter took the shot. And I don't remember ever seeing it anywhere that got published. There was some coverage that event got, but I didn't see the picture used. Until about a year later. A year later, there was an alleged Klan group. And, boy, they were straight out of Jerry Springer's casting. I don't know if it was a legitimate Klan group or if it was just a put-on or whatever. But, you know, the beer bellies, the shirts too short to cover their bellies, you're missing teeth. You know, it looked like the Hollywood casting of what a Klan thing would be.
Time to kill.
And they came out, and they went to a courthouse, and they had a demonstration. And it made national news, and it was on the AP wire. And the illustration that they used to illustrate the article, it said a Klan group meets at the courthouse, so on and so forth. And it was the picture of Eddie from the event 2 years earlier, just because there was a Confederate flag in the picture. Had nothing to do. We talked about that. I mean, that made news out in the Philippines. It made worldwide. I don't know what the Klan was doing or the so-called Klan was doing. Anyway, I've talked too much about
this. Just artistic license.
Yeah, it was just an AP stock photo at that point. They used that to illustrate had nothing to do, but it mentioned Eddie's name. Political cesspool co-host Eddie Miller holds this Confederate flag. That's fine.
Oh,
that is
God.
What it was.
Oh my God!
But it was. But it was used to illustrate a Klan thing that was 2 years later that we weren't a part of. So anyway, but that's just that and this are just two examples. But this headline really
like a Klan bake. Only they call it a Klan bake.
This article here, though, Warren, revisiting Waukesha, was just. Just about too much for me. So, final word on that, and then I want to shift gears a little bit in the last segment.
Oh no, that's okay. I've said people could go check out the article, the fact checking. Waukesha, Mike and I talked a lot about it. I think the show after with Keith, I've been talking, blasting this article for like the last week and a half, but I'm glad I had another venue to talk about it on.
Well, I'll tell you, folks, we mentioned the documentary, and this wasn't something that I would do with like an 8mm cassette tape. That's the kind of technology I'm using. This is a very sharp and well-produced documentary that the Media Taraz and National Justice Party put together about
this. Done by professionals.
It was fantastic. You can find it. How can people find that, Warren? I want people to check that out.
Included in that is the
interview with the killer.
Yeah, it's on the National Justice Party website. Let me see. It's under, where is it? If you go on it, there's a tab, I believe, for media where you can go under. You can also just search. If you search terror in Waukesha, if you search that on Odyssey, the site Odyssey has really become for us the alternative to YouTube. Or if you search it on any other platform that's not, you know, you can also, if you use just as a general tip for your users, James, I don't know if people know this, but Google is actively suppressing results from certain websites, but you can still generally find things on DuckDuckGo.com, on Bing, on a couple of others. But Terror in Waukesha was the name of the documentary, and it is there on the nationaljusticeparty.com website. Like I say, I believe I'm going to actually find where it's under. I believe it's under media.
Well, be sure to check it out there, ladies and gentlemen. You'll find it, I'm sure, without too much trouble. But this is again, the National Justice Party Media to Rise using the alleged killer's own words and drawing attention to those words. That's a false narrative. It is just excellently done, though, as everything that NJP and TRS puts out is. And you do yourself a favor to check it out.
Odyssey, I just wanted to get the spelling right. Yeah. Odyssey has been the video platform. BitChute's another one, but Odyssey has been really great at allowing free speech on. For anyone who doesn't know about Odyssey, it's ODYSEE.com. That's the spelling of it. And if you go to Odyssey.com and you search Terror in Waukesha, it'll come right up. But Odyssey is, because we're, of course, banned off YouTube. We can't use YouTube. So Odyssey's been the main video platform that we've used. But BitChute's also another one. We don't have an official account on BitChute, but you can find all our stuff. People upload it to BitChute as well.
Hey, and check it out. And while you're checking out some of the video content put out by NJP, check out Warren. Warren, you gave a speech that was a real stem winder. I think a signature address for our movement in recent years, in fact. I'm sure folks can find all of that video content there as well. A lot of great stuff from Greg Conte, Mike Enoch at the different rallies that are now drawing hundreds of people. We'll talk a little bit more about that when we come back. And we got one more segment with Warren Balog. Stay tuned. Hello, TPC family. It's James, and I've got to tell you that I sleep better at night knowing that there are organizations like the Conservative Citizens Foundation. The purpose of the Conservative Citizens Foundation is to promote the principles of limited government, individual liberty, equality before the law, property rights, law and order, judicial restraint, and states' rights, while at the same time exploring the dangers posed by liberalism to our national interests and cultural institutions. The Conservative Citizens Foundation also seeks to educate the public on the dangers of extremist ideologies like critical race theory and cultural Marxism. I've worked with the good people at the Conservative Citizens Foundation for many years, and their work comes with my complete endorsement. For more information and to keep up with all the latest conservative news headlines, please check out their website, AmericaFirst.com. That's MERICA1ST.com. AmericaFirst.com.
Have you ever heard of Loving Liberty Ladies? Well, the Loving Liberty Ladies are here to help you learn our American heritage and the way it affects today's society. The Loving Liberty Ladies also have a discussion guide called Proclaim Liberty. And with this guide, you can start your own group in your hometown. Get yours today on our website at lovingliberty.net. Look for our lesson supplements, too. They're free. To hear all the special offers and to join the fight for freedom and liberty, please go to lovingliberty.net.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues of the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas, like this year's Buckaroo calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Welcome back. So I think we've given that coverage of that story, that outrageous headline. Who are you going to believe, the media or your lying eyes?
It's almost Orwellian. You know, if they say something is false, that means it's true.
It's been that way for a long, long time, but this is just next level stuff here. I mean, just complete disregard for any facts.
Don't believe your lying eyes and ears.
All right. Let's shift gears here. Warren, this was something we were talking about on the phone as well. So you go back to, and I'd like to get your take on this. You go back to the early part of this year, and the Republicans are riding high with an eye towards the midterm because the national focus is on critical race theory and transgenderism and all of that stuff in schools and in the public square. And this is a good issue for Republicans, whether they deserve it to be or not, whether they're going to do anything about it or not. Doesn't matter. It's a good issue for them, and it's a bad issue for the Democrats. Then everything gets sort of topsy-turvy early summer. Roe gets overturned, and now the Democrats are energized. And then I don't know if what happened over the course of the last couple of weeks is going to be a catalyst to flip that again, but it is good politics for the GOP, this stunt of Governor Abbott in Texas sending illegals to the neighborhood of Kamala Harris, and then, of course, Ron DeSantis, and everybody knows about the flight to Martha's Vineyard. So it's funny, and it's always good to point out the hypocrisy of these people. Whether the Republicans deserve to be a beneficiary, that's another story. What's your take on all this? It's certainly been, I guess, the talk of the town the last week or so.
Yeah, well, I'll try to make all my points quickly because I know we don't have much time left. Generally speaking, it was a funny stunt, but at the same time, I and the NJP, we've taken the position that Ron DeSantis is not to be trusted. It's funny. I was actually just talking with a gentleman who is in the process of archiving a bunch of old white nationalist literature from past decades, and when I was going through an archive that I got from a friend of my dad's of William Pierce's old publication Attack, which was later renamed National Vanguard, I found an article in, I think, 1978, where he was warning about Reagan and how Ronald Reagan was a false hope and how he was just another basically anti-white conservative at the end of the day, and that people were putting false hopes into Ronald Reagan. And Pierce was writing this in 1978. It could have been written Donald Trump.
Exactly.
Go ahead.
You know, what hope do we have that isn't a false hope in the political arena? Donald Trump, Ron DeSantis, Ronald Reagan?
Yeah, DeSantis, I will say, is being groomed by very powerful people. You know, DeSantis himself, he went to Yale. I mean, he's totally a member of the elite group, the insider elite. But he is being groomed and positioned by very powerful people, Peter Thiel and others. He actually just spoke at Yoram Hazony's National Conservatism Conference. For anybody who doesn't know Yoram Hazony, he is an Israeli, a literal Israeli Jew, who has been hyping up this fake national populism. It's basically Pat Buchananism if you stripped it of any critiques of Israel. And if you what it actually is it's a cargo-culted fake neoconservatism that is presenting itself as nationalism and populism, because that is what the people want, James. I mean, you and I in the Reform Party 20 years ago, that's what the people want. But the system, the people, the billionaires behind the Republican Party, Zionists, are getting ahead of that by funding a guy like Ron DeSantis. And this stunt that he did, he has a terrible immigration record in Florida, moving immigrants around to other, you know, white areas. Martha's Vineyard is like a 90% white area. That is not the solution. It's a complete stunt. DeSantis is a completely fake character that is being put forward by the system, by the donors in the Republican Party. And if he gets in, I will just go ahead and say it. If he gets in, what we're going to get is another neoconservative administration. They will campaign as populists and as nationalists. And when they get in, it will be the same. Everything for the rich. Wars for Israel, Iran, you know, all the rest of it. That's what we will get if we get a President DeSantis. So I have to say it's a stunt, and I don't trust this guy at all. I think that he is a very bad person, and he's got very bad people behind him. You have to just follow the money. That's the other thing. The GOP, just 2 points on the GOP. Republican donors just did a thing. This was an article in Politico over the summer. Where they said that bipartisan immigration reform would ease inflation. So the donors, the people who are funding Ron DeSantis, that's what they want at the end of the day. And if they have to, you know, if he has to do some things to position himself in the White House and then afterwards can do these things, they will go along with that just fine. The other thing is that there was an article that appeared just this week in Vox. And it was talking, the article was called How 2022 Became the Year of the Latina Republican. And what the article is all about is how the GOP, and I'm sure you both remember this, after Mitt Romney lost in 2012, they commissioned this report that said that the GOP needs to become more diverse. And they have been doing this. The RNC has been actively courting more and more diversity in their candidates. And the quote, it was a quote from the article. It said the chair of the House Republican recruitment in 2018, Representative Elise Stefanik, focused on bringing more women, Hispanic and African-American candidates, who she described as often more effective than white male candidates. It said that they established this Right Leaders Network, which is dedicated to providing mentorship and training for women and candidates of color. And it also said that this is critical as the country becomes more diverse, because in 2000, Hispanic voters made up 7% of the U.S. electorate, and in 2018, they comprised 13%, so it basically doubled. And it said, according to a U.S. Census projection, the U.S. population will be majority minority by 2045. So what I think all this national conservatism, this fake pop, this Zionist populism, Zionist-led populism, Zionist money, what it's about doing is letting off steam, is running out the clock on white America till white Americans are actually an absolute minority in this country, and then they can drop all pretense of this. But that's what I see Ron DeSantis as an agent of, and that's what I see this stunt as, just serving that broader agenda. So I have to say, I see right through it.
On the other hand, what did you just say about Ron DeSantis that you could not also say about Donald Trump?
Absolutely. That's absolutely true. And that's, again, that's why we're doing the third party thing with the National Justice Party. And, you know, our hope, James and Keith, is that if we can't, you know, at this stage, we're not to the point where we can run candidates against these guys. We want to build to that point. But I'll tell you what we can do at the stage we're at. And we just had a 400-person meeting in Ohio over about 2 or 3 weeks ago. What we can do is we can put pressure on the system, pressure on the Republican Party by drawing. Now, Ron DeSantis called out the Waukesha attack as an anti-white attack.
Yes, he did.
Why did he do that? He did that because of pressure put on the GOP by groups like the National Justice Party and by what you guys are doing.
This is exactly what I wanted to ask you about when bringing up this topic. So I'm glad you got to this, because it was on my notes. All right, so you're saying people like DeSantis are there to diffuse something that is very real. What is very real is that the Republican base is radicalizing. We've talked about that for 2 years now. The Republican base is coming along. The Trump voter is coming along to see things like racial reality through our lens. And they are coming along in a way that is moving in our direction, much more so in the last 5 years, especially the last year or two, than at any other point in my lifetime. That is real. So how can we tap into that for the greater good of our people?
Avoid being
diverted. Well, I think that's the first thing, is building up our own movement. I mean, that's really the first thing, because again, if you think about Pat Buchanan, you know, Trump just took those points that Pat Buchanan was running on in 2000 and before that in the 90s, but he excluded a lot of the people that Buchanan himself and also a lot of the people that were talking about nationalist populist issues from way back. I mean, politics is power struggle, and I'm very much a realist when it comes to politics. So I think you have to just force these issues. You have to force them to talk about.
Well,
I mean, if we have to embarrass
this.
Republican candidates, we have to do that, you know. But we have to if we don't have our own power group that's consolidated, and we're just depending on some person like Tucker Carlson or Donald Trump or Ron DeSantis to come to the rescue, as long as the people behind the scenes still control the money and still control the system, there's going to be no change. It'll just be cosmetic.
All right, Warren, I got a minute left, and I think this is going to be the key. With what pressure we have already been able to apply, you're already seeing real-time results like DeSantis using the term anti-white. You wouldn't have seen that without the amount of pressure that has already been applied. Can the pressure be applied to such an extent that it doesn't matter what DeSantis really believes? Can there be enough pressure applied from an ever-radicalizing Republican base to where you get these people to do what we want them to do rather than what their handlers want them to do? I think you saw that even with the great George Wallace. George Wallace changed when the political winds changed. Once segregationism wasn't as hot as it was in the South as it was in the 60s into the 70s, he became more of a reconciliationist. So that's the thing. Does it really matter what DeSantis believes? If we can apply enough pressure, can we ever apply more pressure than our enemies
applied
can?
To this point?
I think we can't be bluffing. I think we have to be the goal we have to work towards is regime change in the United States. I think that until and if we as we work towards that goal, it will have the added benefit of applying pressure to people like that. But
that's
the fact that they are changing their positions and backing off on stuff and trying to gin up this fake stuff like national conservatism means that they are on the back foot. So rather than be satisfied with whatever they do, we have keep pressing them harder and harder.
Hey, folks, be a part of that pressure group. And if you want to keep in touch with Warren and get all the latest information about what they'll be doing and what they'll be doing next, Warren, about 15 seconds. What's the contact information, the website?
It's nationaljusticeparty.com, or our radio network is therightstuff.biz. You can see all the speeches on that website. I'm also very active on Telegram. If people have Telegram, you can just search my name, B-A-L-O-G-H, Warren Balog, on Telegram or Justice Warning.
Thank you, Warren. Always good to talk to you, brother. We'll talk to you again very soon. Third hour next.